Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So happy to be back here at Destiny, God's church. And it's great to see you all looking at each other and smiling and acting like you're saved. So that's a blessing. Praise the Lord. We are here to this week, Gavin and I, so we'll both be ministering to you, and really look forward to that. Before we do that, go ahead and look over at somebody and just say, I don't know about you, but I believe today you are going to pay my house off. There is a God in heaven, and he's speaking to you. Pay it off. All right, well, before we get going into the ministry real quick, let's all say hi to Pastor Eric and Miss Cheryl this morning. Give them a big... So they'll be here tomorrow, and that's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see them. I love them. I love them. They're beautiful people, and so honored to be here. In the back, for those of you that believe your job is to get educated, and to stay educated, the things of God are not absorbed, they're learned. And it takes work to experience the promises of the Bible. You can't just get saved and then buy a Bible and expect it all just to come at you. It takes work. Just like if you're a computer technician. Hi, baby. Look at you. Yes, you can dance around. She's got the anointing already. She's just claiming the territory. That's awesome. So, everything in life requires an education, and the better education you have, then the better you succeed. And so, just like it is with relationships, you have to get educated in your wife. Your wife doesn't come with a manual, and you have to actually learn your wife's everything, the way she talks, her language, the way she receives things, the way she doesn't receive things, what makes her feel love, what doesn't make her feel love, what does she like, what does she not like, when she says no, does it really mean no, or does it mean yes, or does it mean maybe, or does it mean, you know, prove everything to me. There's lots of things that require education. And so there are things constantly being published to help you on that road. And so we have letters from God for the daily encouragement of your life. How many of you own a copy already? And this is just a devotional where God writes you a letter every day and keeps you built up and encouraged. This will keep you really strengthened every day. And if you don't have one, I suggest you go in the back and then look up your birthday, and you'll see it'll really, really encourage you. We also, for those of you that have children, how many of you have children? Do you like those children? Not everybody who has children actually thinks. They just have children. They don't actually think that having that child is going to be a serious amount of work. And so the biggest curse to a child is a lazy parent. And so if you're a lazy parent, then you don't actually raise your children with any education. You just let a video game raise them, or you think that the church is going to do your job, or whatever it may be, and then you end up regretting it and going through a lot of pain and heartache. And so the secret is bonding. So whoever bonds with your children mentors your children. So you may have the children in your home, but that doesn't mean you're the one raising them. Whoever is bonded to those children the most, they become their teacher. And that normally will be their friends at school. And so they end up getting raised, developing their convictions, their beliefs, and their ideas by their friends, not by their parents. And that is a bad mistake. And so if you're a parent and still have your children in the house, then you got to find a way to to reconnect with your children on a spiritual level, which once they taste revelation, it changes their idea of the whole wide world. Their worldview becomes heavenly rather than carnal. And so I wrote the book, Letters from God for Children. And so the way it works is that there's 52 letters from God, one for week, per week. And so you as a parent will sit down on Monday and read them the letter on that character trait. Let's say the character trait is honesty. And so you'll read them a letter from God to them on honesty. Then there's a Bible verse to memorize that week. And then Monday through Sunday, there's a question on that topic. So what is honesty? You as a parent, not a lazy one, you go find that out. You find it out. What is honesty? Then you have that discussion with your child or your children based on their age. Then the depth of the conversation changes. And so by the end of the week, you have studied, practiced honesty for a whole week. They learned a Bible verse on it. And then the next week, for worship. The next week, forgiveness, and so on and so forth. 52 character traits or ideas or principles of life are in the book. And it lasts for 12 years to 15 years. As long as your child is in your home, you should be doing it. And then, of course, it'll help you as well as a parent because you'll actually memorize the Bible and practice Christianity and things like that. But so that's in the back, Letters from God for that. And then our new book that came out today. Just today, this is the first church that we've had it in, called The Encouraged Parent. And these are letters from God with prophetic prayers for parents. And so you as a parent need encouragement, and you need it every day. So you're going to read a letter from God to you about your child. Then at the end of that, every day you have a prophetic prayer based on a prophetic Bible verse. So it'll have the prayer there. You just lay hands on your children and read that prayer over them. And this is going to keep you really encouraged all year long. And it also keep your children with a prophetic voice being spoken over them every day. Not the things the devil's telling them, not the things that life is telling them, but the prophetic voice of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The encouraged parent. Finally, and I'm just going to say this today, how many of you have been through warfare this year? Right? And how many of you go through warfare periodically in your life? You know, not knowing how to defeat an enemy is a very foolish position. You have to learn your enemy, learn his weapons, learn his strategies, learn the way he operates, and then get better at everything than he is. Then you defeat him. Praise the Lord. Amen. The devil is a smart warrior. He is an evangelist. He knows the Bible. He has been working at defeating people since, you know, Adam and Eve. And so you're not going to have victory over the devil if you're not educated about how it works. You should be able to tell his strategies. Number one strategy, for example, divide and conquer. So anytime you start feeling division between you and the precious people God has put in your life, or division between you and your children or your parents or you and the church, you know Satan's at work. And in here are written all of the ways you defeat all of his strategies, weapons, and all of that. It's 11 hours plus the workbook. And this will make you an expert at spiritual warfare. And you will have weapons to use every day on yourself as well. Because if your identity's messed up, you're going to have a lot of problems. You need to have a Holy Ghost identity, knowing who you are and who God has made you. Praise the Lord. So there you go. Do we have any visitors here? First time visitors? Anybody visiting for the first time? I want to give you something. Okay, we have some first-time visitors, Gav, so hand something to them. Praise the Lord. Once again, I want to thank Pastor Eric for letting me minister and be here for all these years. We don't take it for granted. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Joshua 13:1. All scriptures will be posted in the back and on the screens and so on and so forth. So we begin with Joshua 13:1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, "You are old and stricken in years, but there remains very much land for you to possess." Praise the Lord. Look at everybody around you and say, "There's a lot more for me. There's a lot more for you. There remains a lot of promised land for you to occupy." Praise the Lord. So when the children of Israel left Egypt, they were headed for a destination just like you are. God is not wasting his time in church. He gives you revelation truth that alters your personality, changes your heart, changes your life, changes your direction, changes your momentum, changes your habits, changes your relationships, changes your ideas, changes your conclusions. All this comes from going to church and listening to a living word from God. Not a locked word, not a dead word, not a word with worms in it, but a living, alive, applicable revelation to your personal situation that you are going through right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's living. That's alive. That's not something in a tomb. That's not something in a coffin. That's not religion. That's not religiosity. That's not legalistic thinking. That's not ritualism. This is a living, breathing voice of God, like breath coming out of the mouth of God and resurrecting everything dead and putting wings on everything that is alive. Praise the Lord. So tell somebody next to you, "I'm going to fly today." Say, "God is about to anoint me in ways that I've never been anointed." Praise the Lord. So go to Joshua 3:10. This is also very powerful. Joshua said, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will surely drive out from before you the Canaanite, Hivite, Hittite, Perizzite, Girgashite, Amorite, and Jebusite." Praise the Lord. If you read that verse with dead eyes, then you just hear a lot of funny sounding names. Jebusite, Girgashite, Perizzite, Hivite, Hittite, Amalekite, Amorite. It's just emptiness. There's nothing. But if you shine the light of the Holy Spirit in it, and then he awakens the revelation hidden within the pages for the seekers of truth. Because remember, the Bible is not written for deceitful people. The Bible is locked to deceitful people, but it is unlocked to truth seekers. Once you become an unbiased seeker of truth, God unlocks the Bible to you and everything changes because the Bible catches on fire and God shoots the fire into your bones. And Jeremiah 20:19 says, "My word shall be in your bones like a fire burning on the inside of you." And you're literally on fire with the revelation of the word of God and excited about what God is going to do in your life. If you've never felt what I just said, you might not be saved. You might just be dragged to church all your life, and you're not even there by choice. You're simply there by compulsion. Threat, intimidation, or a religious loyalty to culture. But Jesus doesn't work for any of that. He only works for those that love him, those that want him, those that seek him, those that trust him, those that honor him, and those that worship him, and those that believe in him. They believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. Once that happens, everything changes in your experience with the Lord and with the word and with your daily life. All of a sudden, you're transported from carnal living, natural living, soulish living, to spiritual realities that only occur in heaven that are brought down to you here on earth, and you begin to experience a supernatural life where miracles actually happen. Praise God. Would you raise your hand and just take a praise break right now? And let's start praising God. Just lift your hand. Take a praise break. Say, praise God. Say those words, praise God. So praise God. Take a praise break. Praise God. All right, so it says these things. We're living in a strange time. It is an unusual time. It is a time of uncertainty, lack of clarity. And with all that uncertainty, because uncertainty is the gasoline of fear. So whenever you don't know what's going on, fear sets in and begins to punish you with troubling, tormenting imaginations. For example, you might be afraid of just dying in general. That by itself drives people insane. And so there's lots of things like that. What does God have to say about everything? Because obviously Satan has an agenda, but so does God. Let's remember the first rule of God is whatever Satan means for harm, God will turn for good. So when the day is ended, brothers and sisters, that we're going to be better off than we were before. We're going to be doing greater things than we did before. We're going to have a bigger God, a greater God, and a more tangible God than we had before. Because all of the people that are just religious and going to church and don't actually know God, don't have an intimate fellowship relationship with Him, they are all going to have to realize, my God is dead. I don't have the right Jesus. I don't have the right God. I have religion. And religion is getting driven out of the churches. Every day, religion is beginning to die because people are desperate for a supernatural God that can assist them, deliver them, help them, give them answers, give them security, and give them divine conclusions about the future. Everybody turn around and say, my future is bright. So since Satan has an agenda, you have to be careful not to fall into his evangelistic river, where Satan actually evangelizes you with fear and other things, and you become an unwilling disciple of his mentoring. So hate is how you make Satan your pastor, and fear is how you become his disciple. So you have to see that in order to get rid of that and then fight against it and say, we're not going to do that. We're going to walk in the Holy Spirit and do the will of God. Praise the Lord. So turn around to everybody and say, hey, could you spare $100 today? Because I'm not getting anything out of the sermon. I just need $100 just to say I got something out of church. So we then look at the word drive, the word drive out. So God says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to drive something out. So let me prophetically say this to you. There is a God is in motion. God is coming. Everybody say, God is coming. And he's driving his bulldozer. So everybody say that to everybody. God is coming and he's driving his bulldozer and he's about to drive the enemy out that has tried to come in and destroy the body of Christ. Because you see, God, the devil comes with giants. He did it right here. All of those names that I gave you, Perizzite, Hittite, Amalekite, Amorite, Jebusite, Girgashite, all those are names of giants and giant tribes. So when God said, I want to go and take you somewhere special, the promised land, where all your dreams come true, I'm going to take you there, but we have to get rid of the giants. So now through fear, the key that unlocks the door to the kingdom of Satan, fear unlocks the door to the kingdom of Satan. Fear has come in, and when fear comes in, the giants come back. So a lot of people have the giants back in their life. A lot of churches have the giants back in their life, and a lot of people have the giants back in their life because their relationship with God was so shallow and so substanceless. They didn't have divine substance inside of them. They were actually building their house on intellectual Christianity and cultural Christianity, not on an intimate personal relationship with Jesus, which changes your experience completely. It would be like being married to a pillar of concrete, and you put a face on it and called it a wife. And you come home from work and your wife is there exactly where you left her. She's got the same smile. She's got the same everything. Say, hey, baby, you look good today. My God. But she doesn't respond. She just, whatever you painted on there. And somebody can ask you, are you married? Oh, yes, I have a beautiful wife. She smiles all the time. She's a very present help in time of trouble. She keeps our family together and our house intact. There's a lot of things you could make up. But you have no relationship. You kiss the pillar. It's not the same as kissing some real lips. Praise the Lord. Amen. All you husbands, kiss your wife right now and say, baby, baby, you light my fire. Go ahead. Boom. Right here in church. Praise God. Say, I love this preacher. That's what I'm talking about. So the word drive then is an active word, and it's a prophetic word. Drive is a prophetic word. God says, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do because the giants are in the land. Right now, the giants are in the land. The giants are in Illinois. But they're not here to stay. You won't always have the breath of a giant on your neck. You won't always have to wear masks. There's a day coming when that's going to be gone. There's a day coming when you'll be able to hug your family again and kiss people. The day is coming because God is coming and he's on his bulldozer and he's about to do something divine to the church and to the body of Christ worldwide, because some things have happened through this that have changed many churches, and many churches have made declarations now. I will never allow that to be done to me again. I will never let that happen again. I will never do that again, because we are sovereignly owned by God, not by man. And so get that inside you, that there is a sovereignty to your life that is very, very important. Praise the Lord. So here are the meanings of the word drive from the Bible, summarized by me into a reasonable definition. So the word drive means four basic things. The first one, it means to blow away with divine breath. So God says, I'm going to drive something. So how does he do it? He blows into the situation with his breath, and it drives out everything that doesn't belong to him. Secondly, to chase away with divine presence. So the thicker the presence of God comes into your life, the less of the enemy can dwell with you. Because fear and all other enemies cannot dwell in the presence of God. And you'll hear from Gavin when he begins to break that open, that the presence of God is the disinfectant of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God is the exterminator of the Holy Spirit. When you're in the presence of God, all other entities foreign to the presence of God pack their bags and move out of town. You can't get this in a natural world. You can only get this in a supernatural world with a present God, a very present help in times of trouble. Praise the Lord. And then it means to grab by the neck and throw out violently. Praise the Lord. That's about to happen, brothers and sisters. The church is not going to be weaker after this. It's going to be stronger, braver, more dedicated, more committed, more on fire, more courageous, and more like Jesus than ever before. That's going to happen because the religion inside you is about to go out the door. God is going to grab it by the neck and say, that is of no value to me whatsoever, and you're going to throw it out of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say something, members of the jury. And then finally, it means to gather like dried leaves and consume with fire. Praise the Lord. Say it again. God is coming and he's driving his bulldozer. Tell everybody around you, God's coming and he's driving his bulldozer. Praise the Lord. So in the scripture that we just read in Joshua 3:10, we're given 9 giant tribes that were in control of the promised land. And the promised land being your promises for God's destiny. 9 of them. They had to be driven out. And this is how God drove them out. Then you go to Genesis 6:4, which is going to be up there. There were giants in the land in those days. Praise the Lord. And so the first giant we're spoken of here is Canaanites. Now, like I said, if that word, you just look at it, there's nothing. But when I say God's going to drive something out, we're naming them now and giving them their names. As you study this in the Hebrew language, the word Canaanite means to a trafficker of control, dominance, and intimidation. What is God about to drive out? All of the controllers, all of the intimidators, and all of the dominators that are trying to dominate the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. All of that is about to get driven out by a mighty hand of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, whatever negative thing Satan does, there is a positive revival that breaks out. So what is the revival that is going to break out? The revival is you're not under the control of any person but Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You are not intimidated by anybody. You are able to walk freely in your home and your life, and you don't walk on eggshells for anybody, and you're not terrified of anything. Praise the Lord. You can find this in 1 Samuel 17, 46 through 51, where it says that David confronted Goliath, the intimidator, and said, "Today God will give me your head." And then it says David ran at Goliath, pulled out a stone, slung that stone. It knocked him down. He pulled the sword of Goliath out and cut his head off. Yes. The second the head of the giant comes off, the body of Christ wakes up and starts chasing their enemies out of their life. Yes. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. David cut the head off of Goliath, held it up, and all the paralyzed armies got their swords out and started chasing the giants that used to intimidate them. Now they chased them out of town, they chased them out of their territory, and they chased them out of their house. That revival is about to come. Praise the Lord. Because remember, whatever Satan does for harm, God turns it for good. Praise the Lord. Would you look at the person next to you and say, "I need a touch of God today." So that's a very powerful thing. We then read, and this is also really great, in Isaiah 49:25, "For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant shall be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children." Everybody say, "Yes, Lord, save my children." Come on, all you parents. Claim your children right now for Jesus and say they're not going to get deceived by the devil. They're not going to believe in all kinds of false ideas that come from Satan. They're going to love Jesus all the days of their life. They're going to know God and be filled with the Holy Spirit and its power. Praise God. So this is called a parasite, and this is very powerful. And this means this: he who claims to possess you, one who is a squatter thief and lays false claims to your life. The question here is, who owns you and who is your master? Because sooner or later, you've got to choose a master. You've got to choose somebody you're going to believe in, somebody you're going to follow, somebody you're going to serve, and somebody you're going to obey. In order to be free from everything, there has to be a revival of lordship. Jesus has to become the Lord, not just the Savior of a person. If you're just saved without lordship, then you have the title of a Christian, but the experiences of a lost person. And listen, that means no love, no joy, no peace, no holiness, no righteousness, no victory, no miracles, no signs, no wonders, no visitations of God, no habitations of God, no presence of God. You just have the title of a Christian, but your experiences are just like a man or a woman who doesn't even know God. And that's why God says, I'm going to drive out those that are saying they own you, because I am going to own the church and I'm going to be the Lord over the church. This is one of the greatest things you will ever hear in your life, what I'm about to tell you, is God gives you free will, so you will give it back to him. You keep your free will when the world is concerned. You don't let them dominate you or rule you or be the Lord of your life or anything. But you give your free will back to God. Just like Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Because there's a holy God, a God of love, a God of wisdom, a God of truth, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. All of those things are very powerful. Omnipotent, he's all powerful. Omniscient, he's everywhere. I mean, he knows everything. And omnipresent, he's everywhere. That's God. That describes God. So why would you not give your will back to somebody smarter than you that can actually make your life better and that wants to give you everything? For it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God does not want to take anything away from you. He wants to give you everything you can't get on your own. He wants to bless you when you go in. He wants to bless you when you go out. He wants to bless you in the city. He wants to bless you in the country. He wants to bless you in the store. He wants to bless your body. He wants to bless the womb. He wants to bless your children. He wants to bless your business. He wants to bless your health. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your soul. He wants you to not be depressed. He wants you not to have anxiety. He doesn't want you to be sick. He doesn't want you to be in torment. He wants you to marry somebody that'll love you all the days of your life till you die and have 20, 30 children. He wants you to bless you if you don't want to have children. He wants to bless you if you don't want to get married. He wants to bless you in everything you do, going in, coming out. Bless you in the morning. Bless you in the evening. Bless you when the sun goes down. Every day there's a blessing from Almighty God. That's kind of how it works. Sorry about that. Just freaked out there for a second. Praise God.
Praise God.
Brothers and sisters, everybody watching online, choose your master. Because they will all demand the same thing, your will. See, everybody thinks, well, I get saved, I got a free will to do whatever I want. You can always do whatever you want because you have a free will. God gives everybody a free will. He himself will never violate that. He will never forcibly take you, forcibly take your will, forcibly make you do something. That's slavery. That's bondage. That's tyranny. And that's not the way God is. That's not the God of the Bible. He would never do that. You don't want to love him? Fine. That's your free will. He'll just knock on your door with love till the day you die. And then on your dying bed, if you change your mind and say, I want you, Jesus, he'll grab you out of the jaws of hell and take you into heaven and say, here you are, the paradise I prepared for you. I'm glad you came to me and I'm glad you called out my name, because he's a God of truth and a God of mercy and a God of love and a God of goodness. And there's nobody like Jesus. Praise God. Turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, there's nobody that loves you like Jesus. Then you have the Jebusites, and this is what that means. He who uses accusation, condemnation, and criticism to make you feel inferior to everyone else. Praise the Lord. You find that in Revelation 12, 9 through 11. And the great dragon was thrown down, the age-old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan. He who continually deceives and seduces the entire inhabited world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a voice come from heaven saying, now the salvation and the power of the kingdom and dominion of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser, there it is, the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down. He who accuses them and keeps bringing charges against them before God day and night, and they overcame him and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they were not afraid of dying for him. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
This is a very powerful thing because it changes everything. It changes your entire life. It changes your motives. And this is a big problem today, is identity, condemnation, guilt, accusation. Think about how many days you've spent feeling bad about yourself. Think about how many people hate themselves. Do you know that the suicide rate has gone up so drastically since March? It is the highest ever in the history of the world. People are killing each other all day long. Burglary has gone up 100%. Every other kind of crime has gone up. Everything has gone up because people are having to live with each other day and night and with themselves. And they are not finding that they can handle who they are under pressure. Because you don't know who you really are until everything is going wrong. You don't know who your friends are until you offend them. There's an accuser out there, and he's blaming you because your wife is not happy. He's blaming you because your husband is a bum. He's blaming you because your children don't love God. He's accusing you because you're overweight. He's blaming you and condemning you and tell you that God doesn't want you and God doesn't love you and you're a mistake and you're no good, just like your father said you were, and that you're a loose woman, that you're full of the devil. That's the voice of Satan, and it's everywhere. That he's going to kill you. That bad things are going to happen to your family. That's the accuser. But for everything, there's a revival. There's an identity revival coming, my friends, an identity revival where all Christians are going to know who they are in Jesus. They're going to stand in Jesus. They're going to stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're going to walk in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to cast down the accuser of the brethren. Praise God. We're going to knock him down and defeat him completely. Praise God. We are going to destroy him. Let him not trust in vanity. Yes. Psalm 78:33. Therefore, he consumed their days. Oh, this is, I got ahead of myself. Praise God. There's so many Bible verses. Okay, so think about this for 1 second and say to somebody next to you, I'm ready for a personal revival. I'm ready for God to move in my life like never before. I'm not going to walk in insecurity about myself and who I am. Think about how many things you haven't attempted because you were insecure. Think about how many times you said, God will never bless you because of what you've been doing. You've been smoking pot. You've been cussing people out on the highway. But understand what I'm saying, that he may be the accuser, but Jesus is the one that breaks the finger of Satan that accuses you. You are a child of God. You are created by God. You have Jesus living on the inside of you, and you have an amazing destiny that is coming. Nothing in your past will define your future. No mistake you have made will define who you are. You are not the bad things you have done. You are what God says you are, and God says to you who you are. He speaks to you from the end backwards. The devil says you're a failure. God says you will be a mighty man and woman of God. You will change the world. You will be anointed by God. He will lift you up out of the miry clay. He will set your feet upon a rock, and Satan will not be able to stop it. You're an amazing man. You are not an alcoholic. You're an amazing woman. You're not a drug addict. Those things are symptoms of misplaced fellowship. They are not your identity. You are as good as everyone else. You're as amazing as everyone else. You are priceless before God. And God fills heaven with his love for you. For you. For you. Praise God. Look at somebody and say, that's what I'm talking about. That's who I'm talking about. Say, I'm amazing. You may not know it, but I'm amazing. Tell everybody around you, I'm amazing. You may not know it, but I'm amazing. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm amazing. You see, here's the way it works. Most Christians look at themselves as a worm crawling on the ground, eating dirt, sleeping in dirt, loving dirt. But there's something coming, and that's the transformation. When you see that there's a place you can go called the cocoon of God, and that you can be wrapped in his divinity, and he cocoons you inside of himself, and there is when you begin to grow your wings, and there is where you go from a crawler to a flyer. You go from a worm to a butterfly. You come out and your wings are like nobody else's wings. They're colored by divine redemption. And you have those colors on you. And when you walk around, you don't walk around like a worm. You walk around like a masterpiece of God, because there is no one on earth like you. You're the only person like you. You're the original of originals. Search all 8 billion people and you will not find another you. Tell your children that every day. Tell them you're a masterpiece. There's nobody like you in the whole wide world. Praise the Lord. Come on, everybody, say something's happening. That's why an alcoholic or a drug addict or a drug pusher or a drug dealer or a prostitute or anything like that finds hope with Jesus, because Jesus is able to transfer this information of identity, divinity to them and put them in a place they've never been before about themselves, since they were mistreated all their lives. Now God comes in and says, I know that you were, I know those terrible, I understand those people, I know whatever, but that's not me. And this is who you really are. And then the great apostles rise up out of the ashes of life. The great prophets and teachers and entrepreneurs and the great men and women rise up out of ashes, out of nothing. The great musicians, the great songwriters, the great lovers of orphans and widows and poor, the great ministers and the great women of God with voices all over the earth. And then everybody's set free and it all ends. All the racism ends and it ends in church. Why does racism end in church? Because church is the only thing that can get it out of your heart. Because only in church can you become a new creature and old things pass away and everything become new. You cannot get it out of people without an encounter with God where you become a new creature and the hate is taken out of you and all that stuff leaves and you see the value of every individual and the uniqueness and pricelessness of every person. That's why there's no races in heaven on any side of any color of any kind, because Jesus is the only one who can heal you of a sick disease like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to 7 people and say, holla, holla, baby. That's what I'm talking about. We read in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we will be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord. This is a powerful word, Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Praise God. These are the Girgashites. And what does that mean? He who traffics in loneliness and feelings of abandonment. Why do people do bad things, and why do people let bad things be done to them because they are lonely and are looking for love. You see, you are looking for love today. There are two kinds of love you must possess to be healthy, mentally healthy. You must be able to love people that you don't like. And you must be able to receive love. Those two exchanges must happen every day. You must be loving and you must be loved. That gives you automatic divine health. And this is why Jesus says, love your enemies. Because Jesus knows that the people you're going to have the hardest time loving are your enemies. He said, no, love them too. Because now nobody can dominate you. We become the slaves of the people we refuse to forgive. Praise the Lord. Loneliness is a deadly killer. It makes people go into alcoholism, have relationships they shouldn't have, get involved in things they shouldn't get involved in, and be part of things they shouldn't be a part of. Loneliness drives people to dark, dark places, and it puts them in the hands of abusers. Let me tell you some good news. God loves you so much that he adopted you. Do you know that I can disown my natural children? I can disown them. But if I adopt a child, I cannot disown that child. What I'm saying is there's a very powerful benefit to all of us who have been adopted by God. His long suffering. Now, sure, we can reject God. We can say no to God. We can, and then we suffer the consequences. But on his side, he's right there all the way to the end. Never will he forsake us, and never will he leave us, even in our darkest hour and even in our deepest crime. The first lesson is don't think there's any human being that can satisfy that black hole in your soul. Your husband cannot make you happy, ladies. It's not his job. Your wife, she cannot make you happy. There's only one person that can make you happy, and that is the person that created you. His spirit in you will fill the black holes that are in your soul. Now, you can try and exalt a person to that level. Exalt your husband. He's my all in all. But as soon as he treats you bad, you're going to have a really bad day. Exalt your wife up there. And then as soon as she loses her mind for a day or two, you're going to freak out and say, my God, she's lost her mind. But the Holy Spirit, he comes. And he says, no, you're complete just with me. Everything else is icing on the cake. How can you hate a person if you're not depending on them for your happiness? But if you expect your husband to do everything and be perfect, or your wife to do everything and be perfect, you're going to drive each other crazy. And loneliness will come like a thief in the night. There are no lonely people in the house of God. You have brothers and you have sisters and you have a family. The family of God. And it's millions and millions and millions of people. Praise the Lord. Everybody lift your hands. Look up to heaven and say, thank God that I got saved. Praise the Lord. Say it out loud. I'm going to heaven and the devil is a liar. I have been adopted. I will not be abandoned. I will not be left alone. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Psalm 94, 14. Deuteronomy 31, 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Everybody shout a little bit and say, holla, holla, baby, baby, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I have a daddy. Everybody say it. I have a daddy and he will not forsake me. He will not leave. I got a daddy. Then you have the Amorites. This is the word, what it means. Peopleish. He who is ruled by the will of the people. A people-pleasing, driven person. Revival is coming when Christians are not going to be afraid of what people say about them or think about them. They're simply going to do the will of God. As soon as you start pleasing everybody and try to please everybody, you will go insane. You've got to have one person to please and that's it. Call it a day. And you got to pick Jesus because he's the only one with a normal mind. You try to please all your girlfriends and all your boyfriends and all your family friends and all your sister and all your brothers and all your uncles and all your aunts and all the Christians and everywhere and all the beliefs and all the politics and all the politics and all the, you're just going to go crazy. We please God and all the right people like us and all the wrong people don't like us. And you got to be at peace with who doesn't like you. But if they're not going to like you, let them not like you because you're lovable. Don't let them hate you because you're raunchy and mean and cruel and insensitive and selfish and manipulative and deceitful and lying. Don't let them hate you for that because that deserves hate from a lost person. No, but let them hate you because you're kind and forgiving and generous and selfless and you bless people. And you rescue people, and you deliver people, and you help people build houses, and build their properties, and paint their house, and they're totally unsaved, and you treat them like they're your best friend, and your best brother, and your best sister, and you invite them over, and you treat them like they're priceless, beautiful people. Let them hate you for that. You can't please your daddy. You can't please your mama. They may have agendas. Praise the Lord. When the church stops pleasing the world, then the world will start going to church. Come on, everybody, lift your hands and praise God. It's 11:22. I got a few minutes left. Come on, raise your hands and say hallelujah. I hope that's the right time. Praise God. Look at somebody near you and say, wow, I needed this so bad. Six, Amalekites, Titus 1:15, 2 Timothy 2:22, and Matthew 5:8, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not go to heaven. Now, this is the giant of the Amalekites. That's who they are. That's the name. One who traffics and takes delight in pervertedness and shameful behavior. God is cleaning his house right now. The fires of revival are coming in and it's going to cleanse the uncleanness out of people. All the people that have gotten involved in all the strange and unusual sexual problems, God is going to drive that out of the church. God is going to clean the church. And there's going to be holiness in the house of God again. Not holiness of wearing things on your head or wearing your pants a certain way, but holiness that comes from the inside. Holiness that would never hurt another person, exploit another person, use another person, take advantage of a weak woman, take advantage of a weak man, take advantage of people. use people, that will gratify themselves in the flesh. All that is being driven out, because that's the next movement of the Holy Spirit, is for the holiness of God to cover the earth again and the people of God, where everybody that's got issues with all that stuff, God is going to drive it out, because that is what builds Satan's kingdom, and that is the church of Satan. But it's going. Tell everybody it's going. Then the Hittites. I'm going fast because I want to quit. It looks like I've gone over according to the left side. The right side says 11:24, but I believe the left side is probably correct. But it doesn't matter because I got a couple of seconds that I'm giving myself. In the name of Jesus, praise God, because Eric's looking at me and he's all right because he likes me. Okay, Hittites, the kings of terror. One who swallows the soul through fear. That's what the word Hittite means. I'm going to drive out. Psalm 91:13, everybody. You shall tread upon the lion, the adder, and the dragon. Three types of fears. The lion is the intimidator. He will paralyze you. The adder is the poisoner. He will poison you. He's in the grass. You can't see him. And the dragon doesn't exist. He will make you paranoid through crazy imaginations and not knowing what's happening. When you have a virus running wild and you don't know where it's at, did I just touch it? Did I just breathe it? Did I just see it? Did it go in my eye? Did it go in my ear? Did it go up something else? Did it go there? Is it there? Is it on my clothes? Did I just eat it in the burrito? Is it possible that it's there? Is it on my chair? Where is it? My God, 85% of people that have gotten COVID were mask wearing people. Say what you want to say. Those are the facts. You're going to tread on the lion. No more being paralyzed. You're going to tread on the adder. No more being poisoned. You're going to tread on the dragon. No more paranoia. It is being driven out of the church. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 26:12-14. Lord, you will establish peace for us since you have performed for us all that we have done, O Lord our God. Other masters besides you have ruled over us, but through you alone we will confess your name. The wicked are dead and will not rise again. The spirits of the dead will not rise and return. Therefore, you have punished and destroyed them, and you will have wiped out every memory of them over our lives. Come on, everybody, and say that's what's coming. Praise the Lord. I'm coming to the end. You have Hittites, a seller of false experiences and false living. You see, every day you're being offered another experience. Every day. Man goes from experience to experience until he has no hope left. Satan's job is to invent experiences that you've never had before. It's like Disney World. We went to Disney World and they had Avatar there, and the what's that ride where you're riding the banshees?
Flight of Passage.
Anyway, whatever it was, I mean, they get you to get back in line. What did we walk that day? Like 20,000 steps or some, or 20 miles or something. I mean, it was out of control, whatever it was. We just walked from thing to thing. All three parks did everything. Whoa, they got new things here. Wow, a new thing there. That's like Satan. That's what he does. Hey, you really enjoyed that? Hey, try this. Those are the Hivites. I'm going to drive them out because listen to my words. For every bad pleasure, there's a divine pleasure. And if you eat the divine pleasure, the carnal pleasure will exit your life. And it is your bad pleasures that connects you to Satan's curses, misery, and judgments. You'll never be murdered for loving people. Your insides will never die when you love a person. But when you hate people, you murder yourself with bitterness and unforgiveness. Praise the Lord. Finally, the Amorites, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, one who creates false dreams through deceptive speech and smooth talk, one possessed by the tongue of a serpent. Matthew 7, 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. The wolves are at the door, my friends, and they want to eat you. God is driving them out. Where every lamb is safe, where every lamb is protected.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.